Come on now. I've got some great news for everyone here. Amazing news, in fact. Beginning Thursday evening, NFL football season began. And on next Sunday, which you have time to come to church first, okay? I just want to put that out there. The Bills play. They play the Jets. Gives them a great opportunity to get their first win. Now, whether it be the Cleveland Browns, Buffalo Bills, or the New England Patriots, what are they all striving for? They're going all in to do what? What are they trying to accomplish? To win what? Super Bowl. Christ Community Church. We have an opportunity to achieve something of way much greater value. We have an opportunity to achieve something that has eternal value. I'm talking about the crowns of glory. But to reach to the top, to be the church that God has called us to be, the kind that will make the impact in our community and in our lives, in our home, yes, we have to be all in, but it's going to come down to this right here. It's going to come down to us truly worshiping the one true God. It's going to come down to us worshiping our Heavenly Father. Now, there are three different facets to worship that I want to share with you this morning. There's the priority of worship. There's the practice of worship. And then there's the payoff when we worship. First, let's look at the priority of worship. Why God is so worthy of our worship. See, worship is meant to be central in our lives. The word worship actually is an old English word that means worth-ship. In other words, to give something or someone great worth, to give them honor. And there is absolutely no one greater of worth and value and honor than God. He is loving, He is compassionate, He is good, He is powerful, He's righteous. In fact, Psalm 145:3 tells us, "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. His greatness is beyond discovery." That God has these such amazing characteristics that it would take more than an eternity to be able to discover them. Amen. That He is so good, that He is so great, it is beyond our comprehension. Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us the value of God. It says, "Hear, O Israel." So am I? Hear, Christ Community Church. Listen to this. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." That term, one in a million, when we're talking about God, you can kiss that term goodbye. When we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about He is so unique that He is truly one of a kind. He is of unique worth and value. He is most valuable where nothing that we can do or say could ever change who God is. And we are to exalt Him above all, giving Him first place in our lives. Look at Deuteronomy 6:5. It shows us the value, how to value God properly. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That worship is just giving God everything and loving Him with everything that we've got. Now, let's just say you're here this morning and you're on the fence, so to speak, okay, with this whole God and Jesus. You say, "Well, I'm just checking things out." And when we're talking about worshiping God, maybe a question that comes to mind is, hey, if He's God and He knows He's God, then what difference does it make whether we worship Him or not? I mean, what does it matter to Him? He knows He's God. What's the difference? What's the big deal? Well, let me give you two reasons two good reasons why we should make worship priority. First, God calls us to worship because He knows that we need it. That we need it. See, He didn't just create us to be physical and emotional beings. We, at the very core of who we are spiritual people. This is why you can give everything that you've got to your work, your business, your school. You can pour in everything you've got to making money or hobbies and still end up feeling really empty inside. Why? You were created for worship. And you know, I finally understood this several years ago, because see, even before I just committed my life to Christ and just said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll follow, I'll do anything you want me to do. And before I stepped into the life and in the role of ministry, I was in the business field, and I was like many of you here today that maybe think that, man, I just want to be successful, and I want to make all the money, and have the house and the career and the success and be able to travel and do all sorts of things and just enjoy that kind of life. Well, let me tell you something. I did everything I possibly could to be able to stand on this so-called mountaintop to say, yes, this is what it's all about. This is what life's all about. I had the house that overlooked the city, the pool, the outdoor kitchen, the bedroom suite, the house that people would always want to come in to see what it was like. I had the cars. I had all that good stuff. And when I stood on this so-called mountain, I still realized that, you know what? Still empty. It's still not everything that people make it out to be. There's got to be something more. And I'm here to tell you, your heart will never be satisfied by the things of this world, because it wasn't made for this world. Your heart will be restless until it has found the object that it truly knows is worthy of our worship. And deep down inside, we know what it is. This is why we don't want to worship things that fade with time, but rather our worship belongs to the God who created you and called you into existence. And when we get to that point, it changes everything. It changes our lives. And I think the best way that I could put it is, many of you last Sunday, you met a friend of mine that came to visit me from our hometown. And he was here for a week. And I've known this guy since kids. He lived on the same block as I did. And they had the house with a pool. And we didn't know anybody that had a swimming pool. And so we would literally just go to his house almost every single day to swim. And it was at his house where I learned how to swim. But it all started where, you know, I would jump in the pool and kind of start at the ledge there. And it was just, come on, just go. And it'd be so hard for me. And then eventually I got to the point where I could get to the diving board and then jump off, but jump off to the ledge so I can hang on. I was scared. And then kind of just push up against the wall and dog paddle to the other end, and then just hold on until I started to get a little bit more comfortable. Well, one day, as I was getting to that point, this friend of ours threw a big old party, had all sorts of relatives over, and we were all in the pool, and this older guy just all of a sudden just grabs me and starts tossing me up in the air, and I'm kind of starting to get a little freaked out, and he then grabs me and then dunks me in the water. And at first, I'm kind of like, wow, this is cool. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to come up now for air. But he wouldn't let me up. And he kept holding me down. And I had to get violent. But I'm just this little kid, so I'm trying to throw punches every which way. And you're underwater, so it's kind of like slow motion. He's just laughing. But I'm like losing my breath and I'm losing consciousness and I'm trying to get up to breathe and he won't let me go. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I see like my older brother, he grabs me and he pulls me up. And so I come out of the water and I'm like, the most amazing air just filled my lungs. It was just like filled with life. And I sometimes feel like that's what life does for us, you know, with all the pressures and expectations and demands and duties, that it just drowns us and drowns us and drowns us. Like life is holding our head underwater, and then when we worship, when we come to worship, God is like He comes up and then He pulls us out of the water so that we could breathe again. In worship, God wants to remind you that you were made so much more than a job or school or your business or the pressures or the demands or all these circumstances going on around you. In worship, God reminds you that you are made in His image, that you are an eternal being, and that you are so deeply loved and treasured by Him. And this is why God has called us to worship Him. Here's a second reason why we are to worship our Heavenly Father. It's for His own sake. It's about a relationship. And His deepest desire is for us to have a relationship with Him. But I think sometimes with us, maybe you've had a friend like this where anytime you're kind of around or you're spending time with them, they seem so distant and not really interested in what you've got to say. I mean, you can even pour out your heart to them, share what's going on in your life. And it's kind of like maybe on their phone or doing something. Just seem like they really don't care. Or maybe anytime that they call you or want to get together with you, it's because they need something. You know someone like that? No one really wants a friend like that, do we? But yet, oftentimes, I think that that's the kind of friend that you and I can be with God. It's like when all He ever finds in us is us being impatient with Him because He won't answer our prayers the way we want Him to answer and at the time we want Him to answer it. Or we don't have any time for Him or no desire to want to know Him and we only call on Him when we need something. What does that say about the kind of relationship we want to have? God is worthy of our worship, and it's not because of anything that He does, it's because of who He is. And it's got to be our priority to worship Him because we need it and He's worthy of it. Let's look at a second aspect of worship, and it's the practice of it. How we are to worship God in the way that He deserves. And there's no better person to turn to than to Jesus. Look what He tells us in John 4, 23, 24. It says, Jesus declared, in other words, He's making a declaration to us right now. He's saying, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. And His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So there's two forms of worship. There's the worship in spirit and truth. Let's talk about worship in truth. What does that mean? It means to truly worship God as He really is. And it's not some idea that we've created. Because I think we're so good at creating this warped version of Jesus. Which, by the way, I want to put a plug in. Next week, we're beginning a new series on Mark. We're going through the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to talk about the real, authentic Jesus. So excited about this series. But when we worship God, we've got to worship Him as He's revealed Himself to us through Scripture. To worship God also means that we, in truth, means that we worship Him exclusively, to make Him our one and only. Look at Exodus 34, 14. It says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Now, I know sometimes when we hear that word jealous, jealousy, jealous God, we have this negative connotation. We think of this high school boyfriend or over-possessive, jealous spouse that you can't look at any other person of the opposite sex or they get violent. We think of totally wrong terms of what it means in the Bible because there is a jealousy that's a healthy jealousy that's protective of you, that's protective of your relationship. Take for instance, some of you here, when you got married in your ceremony, you made some promises to your spouse, right? That you were going to be loyal, that you were going to be faithful. Now, did you ever have a conversation with your spouse before? Hey, from this point forward, we're going to be faithful to each other. Or did you ever say, hey, All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to be loyal and faithful to you 5 days out of the week. You get 5 whole days and two to myself. You wouldn't do that, right? Or no, okay, not five. You don't want to go for five. How about six? 6 days. I'll give you 6 days of loyalty. You wouldn't do that, right? It's expected. You made promises to each other for life. Now, with God, I think, forget about loyal and faithful and just always just wanting to just every single day. Forget about five, four, three, five. Many of us, it's just one day. It's like, okay, God, you get Sunday. And that's not even a whole day. I'll give you an hour on Sunday. Look again, Exodus 34:14. It's in a different translation. He is a God, the God that we worship, okay? He is a God who claims absolute loyalty and exclusive devotion. He wants our faithfulness. He wants our exclusive worship. The problem is that we start to worship all sorts of other things. Look at how Romans 21:25 puts it. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And then they began to think up these foolish ideas of what God was like. And instead of believing what they knew was the truth about Him, they deliberately chose to believe lies. And so they worship the things God made, but not the Creator Himself. I think our culture today has mastered worshiping the created rather than the Creator. And I think a lot of it has to do is that people are so self-centered rather than God-centered. Which begs the question, how is this working out for us? Is it making us any happier? Are we actually living happier lives because of it? I'm going to throw at you some interesting facts. Since World War II, how much do you think depression has increased? If you had to guess, percentage-wise, how much do you think depression has increased? And we're more focused on ourselves than ever before. What would you guess? 20, 30, 40%? 1,000%. Depression is 10 times more prevalent today than even a lifetime ago. Why? Here's what one prominent psychologist said. He said, the main reason depression is so widespread is because we as a society have reduced all of life into the single smallest common denominator, and that is self. And self is too small of a package to satisfy the hunger to really want to know what the meaning of life is. And let me tell you, when I worship God in truth, you know what it does? Gets the attention off of myself. Because let me tell you, if my attention is right here, it ain't a good thing. If I'm about my own little life and my own agendas and how I'm doing, that in itself is depressing. Jesus said our focus instead should be to worship God and to worship Him in truth. And number two, Jesus said worship in spirit. This means, right here, to worship in spirit means to be authentic. Be authentic with your heart. Our worship should be sincere, genuine, real. It's not so much the style. People, different churches have different styles. Some people raise their hands. Some people kneel. Some people think it's about right prayers. It's not so much. It's really all about attitude. Like even right now, God's watching us. He's watching what's taking place internally and between our spirit and His. The way that I think of it is it's an old story, it's a legend even, about a man that was searching for God. He wanted to meet God. He's just, Lord, I really want to know who You are. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up. And the following day, this angel took him to a church where the band was up there worshiping, and the guy was just like, wow, he was blown away. And then the preacher came up, he opened up his Bible, was preaching the Word of God. He's like, wow, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And then that same angel, they took him to a different church. Band was up there playing. Preacher was up there preaching, but he couldn't hear anything. All he could see was just the band moving and the preacher, just his lips were moving. Nothing was coming out. And he said, hey, I can't hear anything. And the angel said, you hear nothing because you are hearing this from God's perspective. When we aren't authentic in our worship, here's God's perspective. Mark 7:7. These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce. In other words, it's a sham. For they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings. Worship without the heart is not worship at all. Jesus says, worship. Spirit, truth. So let's look at some ways how we can engage with our hearts. There's music. We heard it this morning. Fantastic. I love our worship team. They just get up there and just praising and worshiping God. And you know, there are 41 psalms that encourage us to sing to God, because there's just something that's moving that just gets us going whenever we express ourselves in this way. Look at Psalms 101:2. It says, on your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into His presence. Did you know you could do that? Did you know you could sing yourself into God's presence? I told them in the morning service, I said, hey man, I'm even tempted to start singing right now. But half of you would leave, and many of you wouldn't come back. And we don't want that. Another way we can worship is through acts, events. Taking up the offering, that's a form of worship. Baptisms, we're going to have baptisms. If you've talked to me or interested about getting baptized, let's get that done. That's an act of worship. You know what else is an act of worship? That outreach we did a couple weeks ago, right? When I saw some of you out there serving and parking cars and making food and attending to the guests, you know what they witnessed? You all do? They witnessed firsthand you worshiping God. And that changes people's lives, believe it or not. Third way we can worship is through physical response. Look at Psalm 28:2. It says, I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. You know, when people are singing worship, there are some people that lift up their hands. Have you noticed that? I know when I first walked into church and I saw people lifting up their hands, I'm like, what are they doing? It just looks so weird to me. Are they trying to ask questions? What's going on here? It's an act of worship. We want to physically respond because we love our God. I mean, just that's just who we are. I mean, think about when we're watching a football game. Fellas, what do we do when our team scores? High five. We hug each other. We get all crazy, right? And so there's music, acts, physical response, or ways for you to express your genuine love for God. And here's our final perspective. What happens when we worship? There's a payoff. There's a payoff when we worship. Number one, we experience God's perspective. In other words, we get to see how God looks at life. Has this thought ever came to mind? Even say with all these disasters that are happening around the world, the violence, or even the flood that happened out there in Texas. Maybe you're one of those people that have thought to yourselves and say, man, how could God allow this? Does He not care about what is happening in our world? How could He allow all these things to happen? Have you thought that? Well, there was a psalmist who was in the Old Testament, he was noticing all these horrible injustice happening in the world around him. And he was wondering, does God even care about what's happening? And then in Psalm 73:16-17, look what he says. And when I try to understand all this, it was oppressive. In other words, it was so unjust, all these unjust, and it was so overbearing to me, until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. He says, when he came into the presence of God, when he was in worship, it was then when he got a totally new perspective. And that's what worship does. When I worship, my problems, my challenges, my difficulties, my struggles, they lose their power. Before worship, problems seem so big and my God so small. When I come into worship, problems, puny, and our God, huge. Changes our perspective. And number two, we experience God's pleasure. Psalm 16:11. I love this verse right here. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, when you experience the presence of our Heavenly Father, He just wants to fill you with just this immense joy. And I was thinking, what is the best way that I can share this with you all? And I came across this video of a dad with his son. And this dad, he just wants nothing more than for his little son to experience just joy and laughter. Would you share that video with us?
Yeah. Okay, Buzz, you ready? Oh, I should find another one. Okay, I got it. Hang on a minute. Let me find another one. Oh dear. Why are dandelions so funny, huh? Here it goes. Buzz? Funny. I don't know if there are any more.
Isn't that just good for our soul? I mean, who would have thought of this particular child? And the sound of laughter even. Only God, you know. And to think the bond that they have. The dad wants nothing more than for his son just to laugh and be filled with joy. And it brings him joy. And he didn't do, the little baby didn't do anything to earn it. He didn't get good grades. He didn't clean his room. Just the will of his dad, the will of his father. And I think that's the will of our Heavenly Father. He wants us to experience this amazing joy. And number three, when we worship, you know what else we get? We experience God's power. We experience His power. Look at Isaiah 40:29-31. It says, God gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength, and they will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This is the kind of power we receive when we worship our God. And so in closing, church family, you're going to walk out of here three possible ways. One, you're going to walk out of here chilled. In other words, you're just going to walk out of here, that was all right. Maybe I'll come, maybe I won't. But I got better things to do today and the coming weeks. You're going to leave here thrilled. In other words, it was good. I might come back. And who knows? But I do have a lot of things I got to get going. Or you're going to leave here filled. That you were genuinely engaged in worship, in spirit, in truth. Your heart was filled with God. And you experienced His presence and His power. Because don't you see, worship is much more than just a celebration. It's also about transformation. It's getting excited about the power that God gives us to change our lives. And so Christ Community Church, as we move towards this next phase of ministry, let's go all in by worshiping God with everything we've got. Let's give Him our all so that when it's all said and done, forget about hoisting up some Super Bowl trophy, okay? We're going to be standing with Jesus, holding up the crowns of glory. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much of just how an amazing Father, a loving, a compassionate, a powerful, a giving, and a righteous Father. And every single person that is in this room, you love deeply and want nothing more than to have a strong, a loving, a growing relationship with each person here. And so, Father, whatever it is that is drowning out, whatever is distracting your people from experiencing your power and your spirit and your truth, Lord, I pray that you would lift them up out of that situation, that you would take them out of this drowning world, that you would give them the breath of life, that you would give them the bread of life, the eternal life that each one of us deeply desires in our soul. And that could only come from you, Jesus. And so if there's any person here that has never completely surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to take that step and surrender your life to the amazing Savior that we're worshiping here this morning. Father, thank you again for such an amazing time with you, worshiping with you. We hope that in everything we do, we bring you glory, because this is all about you. And it's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.